We would tell him that he was adopted, because certainly nobody else, none of our cousins, our parents, he was the only redhead, therefore he was adopted. And time went on and we forgot about it. One day there was a knock at the door and my father's youngest sister was there. We had had letters from Aunt Bess, but we had never seen her. And as she came in, there she stood in all of her glory with red hair. Our brother later came over to the two of us and he said, "Adopted? Ha." We had forgotten about it, but he hadn't. We later discovered that there was red hair on both sides of the family. My uncle up in Kansas had red hair. A cousin had red hair. So red hair was natural, and some of you saw the red-headed little ones that are still part of the family that were here a few weeks ago. Adopted? Huh. Jacob might have wished he were adopted or something. The scripture that we read about Jacob wandering around and using a stone for a pillow. He was on the run. He'd run away from home, literally, because he had always had a quarrel with his brother, twin brother Esau. I don't know how many of you are twins, but those of you who know twins know that the older always knows that I am the older. And friends of mine in Brazil have twin daughters, and the older always refers to the little one when she talks about her sister. Somehow they find out, and Jacob and Esau were twins, but Jacob was born second. And he did not like that idea. He became his mother's favorite. His father really preferred Esau, the older. Esau, by law, would inherit everything, and Jacob would be out on his own. And Jacob and his mother decided that they would do some conniving, and Isaac was losing his sight. He really couldn't see very well. And so she put some skins over Jacob's arms, and he went in with a pot of soup and said, "Father, will you give me your blessing?" And Isaac felt of his arms and he felt like Esau. So he gave him the blessing, which meant that now Esau was the one that was out. But it worked out that Jacob had to pack his bags and head out. He had to flee. He had to run away from home. But he discovered that night that he slept on a stone pillow, and it might have been the stone that caused the dream. But he discovered in that dream that he could run away from home, but he couldn't run away from God. God was there with him. And it's interesting that this stone pillow then he put upright, and he poured oil on it. It doesn't say he blessed it. He just poured oil on it so they would be able to know where it was later. He didn't worship. He didn't make a sacrifice. He just left the stone marked as the place where he had met God and went on his way. And he had to wander a long, long time. But in that dream, he saw the angels coming down and going back up, up and down, letting him know that God was with him. And indeed, God said he would be with him no matter where he went. Now, this really says that God forgives. Because this fellow, he had fought his brother all his life. He had deceived his father. And yet, here is God saying, "I am with you. You're still part of my family, no matter what." We see stones now that mark places. There will be a cornerstone. We've got one out here that Evelyn has scrubbed up just so we can see it in its former glory. There are stones on different corners that tell us this is where we go. property markers, headstones in cemeteries so we know where people have been buried. But this reading tells us we don't need stones to find God. God is in our hearts. And because God is in our hearts, God is always with us. God is our loving parent. The head of the household is God. And we are considered part of God's family. In Paul's letter to the Romans, he says we are adopted. We're not stepchildren. We are adopted. And when you're adopted, you have all the full rights of being in the family. Some of us are adopted. Some of us know people who are adopted. Some of us have adopted children. And it's interesting that you hear parents talk about a family that's mixed, and they'll say, well, I don't remember who is who. They're all part of the family with all the rights and privileges. But along with those also come the responsibilities, the obligations. One of the spirituals I'm going to sing when the Spirit says sing has a stanza in there that refers back to this reading from Romans. I'm going to moan when the Spirit says moan. And some of us have had great fun moaning as we sing that. But going back and remember that that moaning, waiting for something to come. Sometimes you put your head in your hand and you go, because you want something to happen and you can't make it happen. You're wanting to find something, you don't know where it is. So you moan and you groan. And God is moaning and groaning, waiting for us to really accept the fact we're part of the family. And when we do that, then we have to moan and groan along with God to bring the whole family together so that we are all one. So we are not just moaning and groaning, we enter into the celebrating. We enter into the serving. We become the kind of children that Dave and Parker sang about. The blessed children, the peacemakers, the ones who seek God, the one who mourn with others, the ones who keep trying to bring the kingdom so we can rejoice and be glad together. The reading from Romans that Dave read has been put into different or more contemporary reading by Eugene Peterson in his version called The Message. He says, don't you see, you don't owe this old do-it-yourself life one red cent. There's nothing left in it for you, nothing at all. The best thing to do is give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go. The resurrection life you received from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It is adventurously expectant, greeting God with, as Romans read, Abba, Father. Peterson says, what's next, Dad? What else is ahead of us? What are we going to do? God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who God is and we know who we are, father and child, parent and children, and we know we will receive what God has promised, an unbelievable inheritance. And that adoption comes when we are baptized. You didn't know that your baptismal certificate was an adoption certificate. That says you are now part of God's family. That means that all of us are part of God's family. And just as my brother and sister and I would quarrel and fight, and I can remember the day I threw a brick at my sister and hit her, and I didn't have supper that night. I had to apologize, which was very, very difficult. Nobody likes to say, I'm sorry, I'll never do it again. Maybe, well, I'm sorry. Can't promise I won't do it again, but families fight with each other. Sometimes the fight goes on and on until you forget what it's all about. I was the head of a household down in Argentina. There were 12 university students. Young women from Argentina, Paraguay, Uruguay, Peru, all studying at the universities in the city of Buenos Aires and living together in a household that the Methodist Church of Argentina provided for them. One evening as we sat around the dinner table, one said to the other, "Did you notice I spoke to you tonight?" And Esther said, "No, I really didn't." And Sylvia said, "Well, I haven't spoken to you for 3 weeks." So I didn't notice. Well, then, do you get angry because your anger wasn't noticed? Or do you just say, okay, it's all over with, and you go on and live together in peace and harmony? We know that the way is set by Jesus. We know it's not an easy way. But if we follow it, with our moanings and our groanings and our rejoicing, we will find the life that God has for us. We don't have to be a normal family, whatever that is. Years ago, some of us watched Father Knows Best, and you knew what a family was supposed to be like. Well, since 1986, there's been another family. It's won Emmys. It's got it coined a word for the vocabulary. The Simpsons. Now, that's a weird family. And the three-letter word, duh, is now in the dictionary, thanks to Homer Simpson. Middle-class, blue-collar. Bart hasn't had a cow in a long time because they sort of faded that out of the dialogue. But the Simpsons are the family that has watched more, probably, than Father Knows Best ever was. A family? I don't think my family was quite like the Simpsons, but I know we weren't like the family in Father Knows Best. But my mother and my father made sure that my brother and sister and I knew that we were all part of God's family. And so we became part of the family, accepting others, wondering, you know, who do they think they are? And then realizing we don't have that right to ask any kind of question like that. They're God's child, just as I am. So when we tormented our little brother about being adopted, we didn't know that we really were right. But what we didn't realize at the time was that we also were adopted, because we've all been adopted by God. We're heirs of all that God has promised. So if anybody ever asks, "Are you adopted?" you don't say, "Duh." You say, "Hallelujah, yes, I am adopted. I am a child of God."